I'm not going to say that Brother Denton surprised me, but he probably surprised some of you. If he had announced that I was going to be here, we'd either had more or less, more or less. I'm glad that Sister Janie's feeling better. I really am. There's people in this church that, well, everybody matters, but they hold spots and positions that are very important. And whenever you've seen the show, The Weakest Link, whenever we have that, then we have not a breakdown, because somebody will step up and move in. And Sister Janie wasn't here, and Rosetta, she just stayed right over there and helped clean up. And I'm glad of that. I'm proud of that. Amen. I forgot to request prayer for Brad. I checked on Jacqueline and Harper and Brad, and he's feeling better. But tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about something that, I don't know, it's what God gave me. Seems like I was awake, not on the hour, but close to the hour, every hour last night, just tossing and praying. And when Brother Denton asked me if I could speak tonight, I didn't hesitate. I said, I can, because I feel like I got something that might help me help you, and that's what I want to do. I want to help me help you. And if you would, let's go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. We'll start at verse 9. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 9. There. And my son's here tonight, and I'm going to preach right at him. I'm not going to make any mystery about it. I didn't know he'd be here, but I'm going to let him have it. Praise the Lord. So this morning in Sunday school lesson, we learned that, I don't know about you, but I learned that Jesus washed the feet of the very one that was going to betray him. He did. He made no bones about it. And it's a very humbling experience. I don't know if any of you have ever been or partaken or had part in a foot washing. But where I grew up and come up, we did that. We did that. Sometimes we did it New Year's Eve and took sacrament and what have you. And then we prayed the old year out and the new year in. And then we had black-eyed peas and cornbread and everything else that goes with it. Sometimes we'd have dinner before then because I wanted people to enjoy it and not go home and have to sleep on top of all that cornbread. Amen. The Lord was very good to me, and he's been so good to me all of my life and all of my way. And I want to talk about that part about our hearts and where we're at. So I want to read my scripture, then I'll get right into my thought. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Father, I ask you tonight to give me guidance, give me clarity of thought, give me something, Lord, that I might minister to everyone here. Some part of this might help them, Lord. This is your word. It's true. It's living. It's alive every day. Every time we open this book, your word is alive. Every time we quote your scripture, that word is alive, and that anointing is alive. And we're so thankful that we can have that in our life, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Amen. So, I want to talk to you about that just a little bit. And where I'm going to go to is I'm going to go to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And I said 1, but I think 10 would be a good place to start. These will go together, and you'll see in the end of this, I hope. I'm going to do my best to help us get closer to the Lord. So, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now let's go to Matthew the 15th chapter, and I think verse 10, Sister Rosetta, Matthew the 15th chapter. And see, what we're talking about here is, as the Lord had been teaching, and he had talked to him, and he'd gave him a whole lot at the beginning of this. I mean, 1 through 9, those verses spells it out, everything that he did. was teaching them and showing them. The Pharisees came to him, and he said, why do these disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? That they transgressed the traditions of the elders, but they did not transgress God's law. See, we have that nowadays. We have that today in a lot of churches across the land. I'm thankful we follow the Spirit here, and I'm thankful that we're taught to follow the Spirit here. You don't get that everywhere you go. He said, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Now, I'm not going to talk to you tonight about whether you wash your hands or you don't wash your hands before you eat. That's not what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to talk to you about the traditions of men. The traditions of men will get more Christians in trouble than anything ever would. The traditions of men. That will get you in trouble. You understand that, right? In churches across this land, there's rules and regulations. We got, at one time there were 666 different denominations. You heard what I said. At one time there were 666. So we had to have some transgenders and what have you start new organizations and denominations so we get it off that number. So I want you to understand something with me. Whenever people don't get along and they don't agree on the scripture, rather than sitting down and studying together and rightly dividing the word of truth, they fuss. And so I'm so thankful that when I pastored this one thing, I had a lot of people that come to my church, our church, that were from different churches who had been kicked, hurt, their hearts broke. Feelings destroyed, their spirit just ripped out of them. They wanted to help. They wanted to matter. They wanted to be somebody. They wanted to be somebody that could, you know, minister to people. You can't. You can't minister because, well, one thing, your son's not living for God, so you don't get to do nothing. If you can't even rule your own son, my goodness. You don't get to do nothing. Listen to me, folks. He said, I know the heart. He knows my heart. He knows Sister Donna's heart, Sister Kim's heart. He knows Sister Brown's heart. He knows Sister Janie's heart. He knows every one of our hearts. He knows Carly. He even knows Brother Blake's heart. You know that? He even knows his heart. He knows Sister Jennifer's heart. He knows Virgil's heart, and I'm so thankful he does because, boy, my outside just it destroys it and tears it all up. So this morning what I gathered from Brother Denton's message was it ain't good to gamble. It's not. I mean, I chuckle too, but he's serious. It's not good to gamble, and I don't have problems with gambling. Brother Trey, I don't have problems with gambling. I just never had a hankering. I've been to training. We do most of our training at the Hard Rock in Tulsa, our conventions and what have you. And I see all them guys that I work with out there plugging money in those machines. Won't you come over here? I said, because I have never put a nickel in one of them machines. I've never put a penny in one of them machines. And they're not going to get one of my pennies today. They're not going to get it. See, I don't have a problem with gambling. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with shooting dice, shooting craps, playing. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the things that he talked about this morning, but I'm going to talk to you about what I have a problem with or did have in my life. So whenever I was a young man, and that was a long time ago, 1987, I fell through a roof and broke my back. Fractured compression fracture of T10, T11. I never had surgery. I was in church, had just been saved not long, and I wanted to live for God, and I wanted to trust and believe God. There was no surgery. So I knew I was called of God when I was a 12-year-old boy. Brother Phillips was preaching, And he is, I'm going to walk a little bit. I do better walking. He was out there and he was preaching, Sister Anita. And when that little old Conry church, when it was way smaller than it is now, he was preaching. And I was sitting on the about the third pew back, maybe the fourth one, with my Grandpa Carter. And I had borrowed Grandpa Carter's watch. And then I asked him, could I borrow his knife just a minute? And then I popped the back off of that water-resistant watch that has to be pressed back on before it can go back on. You know, I'd always play with watches that you could snap off and snap back on. I wanted to see the gears. I wanted to see how that thing worked and what made that thing tick and what made that go around. I wanted to look at that. I was very curious. And Brother Phillips was preaching. I'll never forget. That was as plain as day to me today as it was then. He was preaching, and he had the crookedest little old index finger that you ever saw. And he was preaching, and he was walking, he was talking, he'd get anointed, and he'd preach a while and pray in tongues a while and preach a while. And he said, out of this church is going to come teachers and deacons and preachers and pastors. And he pointed right at me, and God spoke to my heart. And I knew then I had a calling on my life, okay? I knew then, for there was no doubt about it. I had a calling on my life. So the first thing that happens is whenever you realize that, the enemy of your soul, he starts tearing at you, working at you. He'll turn you into a chronic alcoholic when you're 15 years old, if you let him. I know firsthand. He'll do that to you because you got a calling on your life. All right? So the Lord took his time with me because I'm a slow hard case. I'm hard for everybody to figure out except the Lord. He knows my reins. He knows my heart. There's a sign in the men's restroom back there that said, Lord, since you made me, you could probably do a better job of running my life than I can, so I'm going to give you my reins. And that's what he wants. He wants the reins. He wants the reins without having to take them. He will take them, but he wants them. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit about something. So I don't have problems with gambling, and I don't have problems with that, and I don't chase wild women, and I don't catch wild women, and I don't pursue that. I don't even think about that. The Lord's been good to me to help me keep that under subjection, and he's delivered me from some old hard things. You know when Brother Denton's preaching and he's talking about he'll deliver you from the pornography? I'm that guy. I'm that guy that got delivered. I can testify to that. I can attest to that. He took that curiosity away from me. He took that evil seed, that evil demonic out of me. He delivered me. Are you listening? Are you listening? He wants us to understand that sometimes you just ain't going to understand how things are. And sometimes you got to just pray, Lord, help me to understand why I can't change the way things are. And in the AANA program, it's change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference. There are just some things, isn't that right? Some things you just can't change. You can't fix. It's broke. That's a dummy. It's broke. It's broke. It's just you can't fix it. The problem is you fixed it. You fixed it. So I want him to help me understand. So I've been going to this revival. Man that I'm listening to, evangelist named Dale Begley. He had one eye and he wore a white gauze patch over his eye, taped it every night. When he was 8 or 5 year old boy, a car hit him and drug him a long way and just burned his face and took his eyeball. And damaged him, and he was hurt, and his mama was there in the hospital room, and he said, I was floating over my bed, my hospital bed. I could see myself there. And he said, my mama said, Lord, if you'll just let my boy live, I'll quit chewing snuff. Women did that back then. And I'm not talking about Copenhagen. I'm talking about that old Garrett snuff. Yeah, I knew you'd know. And he did and she did. And he was preaching, man, I mean, laying it to it. He could hit us and run. And he bragged about it. I'm going to hit you and I'm going to run. And your pastor's going to have to put you all back together. I'm going to tear you up. And boy, he tore me up. Man, he's preaching on the Holy Ghost and the infilling, the baptism. And he's a smart man, and he realized that so many people seek the tongues, and there's eight other gifts. And he taught and was teaching and preaching, and he's an anointed man of God. And I had fell through that roof and broke my back. I hadn't been saved a couple months. And I was in a back brace. My doctor said, son, you can either get it in your head that you're going to heal up and strengthen that muscle around that injury, or you can have surgeries the rest of your life. It's up to you. It's your decision. I've never had a doctor be that honest with me. But he was. He didn't have good bedside manners. So I went back to church. Was in revival. Think it went longer than it's supposed to. Tell you what happened to me. God was building a pastor. He prayed for me. He delivered me. God delivered me of them old cowboy killers and Marlboro Reds. He delivered me. That chewed skull then, not Copenhagen. I learned how to do Copenhagen later in life when I backslid. He prayed for me, and I believed. But I didn't get the infilling with the evidence of speaking in tongues like we're always taught. But I did get healed that back. And he said, son, what you need to do is you need to go back to that where you was. Go out in that pasture or wherever it was. He knew. I don't know how he knew. He looked right in me, right where I learned to smoke them grapevines and then those cigarettes and then that marijuana when I was young. And you know what I did? I went out to mom and dad's. I went out in that pasture where I used to hide my stuff. And I ran, and I cried, and I begged, and I fell prostrate on the ground, and I jumped, and I ran, and I cried, and I got zero as far as feeling that infilling. And I get in that little green four-speed with an overdrive and five, Toyota or Datsun or something. It was a foreign job. Good gas mileage. And I started driving back home to Sperry. And while I was driving down the road, the Holy Ghost came in that car. He delivered me of that nicotine crave. He delivered me of that nonsense, that alcohol, and he healed my back. I went back to work in 90 days. Swinging a mop, hot tar. Stronger than I'd ever been. Got where I could do the one-arm push-ups again. and physically, but he was building me on the inside. Now, here's where he took me, Brother Devon. Mom and Dad had pastored at the Little Rock Church by Washington Cemetery for about 16 years. I'm going to guess 16 years. Most of the time I grew up right there as a teenager. And that's where I was sitting one night, and Mom was laying it on the people, and she had Nicodemus up the sycamore tree. I was sitting on the piano bench, and I said, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree. And they resigned. Mom resigned. Dad resigned. They left. They resigned their pastoral duties. And I felt that burden. So I went there. Now, here's we are. Here we are. Here's the scripture I'm talking about. And he called the multitude and said unto them, and if you'll read 10 down to 20, you'll find out that it's not what goes in this mouth. It's not whether it's you're eating with street people or rubbing elbows with the powers that be, but it's what's in the heart. And what happened to me was this. I pastor a church where the people knew me and watched me grow up in that community, those dogwood hills. And to make a long story even longer, a lot of people say to make it shorter, that's a lie. We're going longer. There was a group of simple people, simple-minded, poor folks, that were my uncle's sisters. Very simple. They knew about a bath, usually about August, in the pond down the hill from their house. I loaded them up and took them to church, and my kids sat by them, and they were family, church family. And if you let them, a guy will come along and hurt them and crush them and run them off, but I wouldn't let them. Somebody might smell bad, but far be it from me to tell them. That's not my place. My place was to feed them. And I'm not talking about physical food. My place, Sister Donna, was to feed them. Two of them got killed at that dangerous intersection where Brother Brent's sister got killed. Same thing, except the driver, old Leroy, he'd been drinking. Whenever, to back up just a little bit, whenever they decided they wanted to give their heart, they come to the altar like that simple, understood that big. They repented of their sins. I was able to help keep some of them old dirty old men that would come up there on that hill looking for companionship run off. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't bragging on me. I'm bragging what God done in me. Very slowly taught them how simple it was to be saved. Very slowly. And then Margie come along, Margie Weeks and Ida. Brother Chris knows Ida. Brother, and Donald Nelms and Uncle Don. And back in the scripture, I sat down with them and I took time to teach them and show them. And then Sister Ruby Kapczynski, who taught Sunday school there for 30 years or more, I don't know how many, but a long time. Her husband was an alcoholic. One Sunday morning, I loaded Dad up in my car, front wheel drive, and we went over in snow about ankle deep on the road. We prayed for that man, Tony Kapczynski. And you know what happened? When we left there, that alcohol devil left. And he said, when you guys left, something went with you. He was saved. Stayed that way, too. Died, saved. But Josephine, Claire, Ardeline, Margie gave their hearts to God, and I baptized them girls. They got two baths that summer. Sure did. I was glad to. I just baptized them in water. It's all that matter. I baptized them in water. They got killed, and when I preached their funeral, my cousin comes to me. And he never would do this, ever. I've never known him to do it. Look me right in the eye. He said, thank you for caring about my aunts. Thank you for taking them to church, baptizing them, teaching them about Jesus. So there was one more on that hill I was after. His name was Hap Weeks. Any of you know Hap Weeks? He did. He wasn't a good man. But he was a man who needed a Savior. I go up there, and he's got tomatoes that big. And I'm not exaggerating. They as good as I've seen them growing around here, and I don't know what he used for fertilizer, but whether it's dead fish or dead squirrel or something, it worked. He was lost. And you know what? I went down there. Margie come bouncing out of the house. Hi, Brother Virgil. Why are you up here? I said, I came on business for the King. I'm here to see Hap. I'm talking about the Lord taking that pride out of me, making me a humble man. And you know what? Hap gave his heart to the Lord. Margie come out there, you want a glass of ice water? Sure do. She come out there. I've told this here before. I haven't forgot. There's a piece of lettuce stuck to the inside of that glass of water. I drank it because I wasn't about to hurt her. She'd done a wonderful thing. The Lord said, give a cup of cool water in my name and you will what? Not lose your reward. Not lose it. No wise lose your reward. So what I'm telling you is, I left there. We built a church. We grew in number, and my pride and my humility had went away, but my pride and my ego and my stuff, and I got where I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't do that anymore. And I come down here to church with you guys, and there's so many poor people around here that I'm right back at home. I feel good here. There's people here that know how to love unconditionally, and you don't find that everywhere. Go over to that big church in town and see if you find that. Go over and see if they care whether you did you eat today. Did you eat today? See if they care. Folks, what I want us to do is draw closer to God. I'm done. I'm not going to drag you on any longer. I'm done. But my deal is, the Lord said, it's not what goes in here, it's that murder and that hatred and that deception and that evil that comes out of that mouth, that tongue. In it lies life and death. There's poison comes from that evil thing. So you got to keep it under subjection. Would you stand with me? I feel like an altar service tonight would be good. I feel like Brother Denton's been preaching himself to death lately. I feel like I'm glad that I tossed and turned and rolled and prayed through the night. And I feel like you're here, and I feel like we want to do better. And we got people in the church that are always making, cooking, baking, that's always giving. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing, but don't ever get so prideful that you can't give to the lowly, because the Lord said, the poor you will have with you always. If you get prideful to where you can't do this, guess what? He'll jerk that right out of you. And he jerked it out of me. I wasn't a hot shot preacher. I thought I was. Brother Denton said, powerful preacher, man of God, Holy Ghost filled. Yeah, I thought I was. Got too big for my britches. So don't ever, ever, ever think that God can't use someone else in your place, because he sure can. Tonight, if you've grown away and you've got tired and you've let up on helping the needy and the poor, tonight, if you're the one that don't need to come to the altar, but you see that one come to the altar, be the first one to gather up around them, second, third. Pray them through to victory. Lord wants to use us, and he filled you with the Holy Ghost. He filled you with his Spirit so you could do this work that I'm talking about. He filled the disciples with his Spirit so they could do the work that he had performed in front of them, taught them and showed them. Why did he wash their feet, brother? Brother Frank, why did he wash their feet? Because he had a heart of a servant. The King of Kings, the King of Glory, the righteous judge had a heart of a servant. And he even washed Judas's feet. Didn't he, Brother Chris? He pointed that out to me. I'd forgot that too. Let's pray. Let's come and pray.